I thought there was going to be a comeback. I saw some stuff on social media in the last week saying that Brighton were going to win 5-0. And I saw some bets that some Brighton fans were taking saying they got 12-1 for Brighton to win 5-0. So how did Brighton, who did they get in the Europa League quarterfinal draw? Oh yeah, that's right, no one. Welcome to the latest episode of the Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. Welcome to episode 253. We are recording the day after Brighton 1, Roma 0. Roma winning 4-1 in aggregate. Joey, did you see these people making these videos and these bets that Roma that Brighton would win 4 and 5-0?
I saw everything with the some edits that they made where they showed the goalie celebrating and they showed like a score of 5-0. I saw everything. Damn, Scott, you came out firing at the beginning of the pod, just putting it to the Brighton fans.
No, yeah, I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. But I know a lot of them, for them too, it's banter. They'll never, you know, a lot of them know realistically. I mean, it doesn't happen much in football. So the closest was actually that Marseille-Villarreal game that was like really insane where they almost came back. But no, Roma, I mean, no comeback. I you know what? I didn't even stress after the first 15, 20 minutes, really. There wasn't much to stress about. Like, Roma, it's an acceptable loss. So we'll get into it. But no, I saw a lot of banter. But ultimately, Brighton are playing nobody in the next round.
Yeah, I wanted to start something like that because I saw some of the tweets this morning. I saw a Brighton fan called a scummy. And I thought, ha, lol. But no. I forgot to introduce you. So, Joey, you are, is that just us two? How are you, Joey? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I can't complain. I guess we're just so excited to get into this match. You know, everything's good. And you, Scott?
Yeah, all good. It's Friday. I'm off to football tomorrow, even though I don't really want to because Swindon lost Tuesday night and it was probably one of the worst games of football I've been to in about 3 months. But no, Roma is keeping me a bit sane. I'm just waiting for potentially some tickets to be announced in the next 6 days and the fixtures to be, the kickoff times to be announced for April. But with Lega Serie A and FIGC, that they'll take their sweet time. But no, we'll talk about yesterday. So Brighton 1, Roma 0. I listened to Roma Press this afternoon and I pretty much agree with most of what they said. Actually, pretty much all of what they said. Especially Andy. It was a gritty performance. Roma, and to John to some extent. Hello, gents. I hope all is well. And congrats, John, as well, on your newborn. It was a different style of Roma yesterday, wasn't it? It was a bit of a rotated squad. And I agree what both of them said about Sadar Azmoun. He is the type of player that you want in these sort of games that will run your socks off, create chances, have a ridiculously goal disallowed because Van Hecker dipped his head in. It's not like he took his head off when he was in a standard position. And the Glenn Murray, who is an ex-Brighton and Crystal Palace striker, he said that it should have been a goal. And I completely agree with him. It was an abomination that that goal got disallowed. And to be honest, that refereeing performance yesterday was quite poor. But nonetheless, Roma advance into the quarterfinals of the Europa League. No comeback, thank God. I did add envisions of a comeback. I was thinking Roma to get 30 minutes, 35 minutes, get to halftime 0-0. And then Danny Welbeck scored that wonderful goal. To be honest, that was no fault of VDR and the defence. Great goal by Welbeck. Well, I actually thought gave Roma a tricky time in both legs. Gave Mancini a bit of a torrid time in the first leg. And he's a good striker. He's had a good career with Man United and Watford. And I think he was at Sunderland on loan. Was he at Watford? If memory serves me, it could be. I might have to factually check that later. And at Brighton, he's done really good. But Joey, did you expect more from Brighton? Or did Roma come to the Amex, come to Brighton to a job? And to some extent, they did it pretty well. But the only thing that was lacking was a bit of an attacking input and a bit more on the ball. I don't know if you would agree.
I do agree. And that was the first thing I was going to mention. I did expect more from Brighton. I know they're dealt with a lot of injuries and we dealt with a rotation. So both parts are true. I think Brighton left me wanting more. Like if I were to be a fan of their team, because they didn't show much to me. They didn't show as much as I expected. Scott, they ended with an under 1.5 XG for the amount of ball possession they have and amount they tried to push forward, and being down 4-0, they weren't even expected to score over one goal, and they only scored one goal, which is a wonder goal. Other than that, they had that header, which VR made a great save. I know there may be shots in the box, but Roma players are always there. This was the gritty part we're talking about. We're always there. We're always getting down for the blocks. We're always in front of their guy, closing space besides Welbeck's goal. I didn't see as much as I thought I would have. After maybe 15, 20 minutes, I already saw how the tie was going to go. If the first 15, 20 minutes, there was going to be a lot of chances, a goal, that's something different. But the first 20 minutes showed that Brighton certainly weren't there. The intensity wasn't there. And Roma just had to control the game, which they did. I like the fact that they were able to control the game. They knew what the situation was. They knew what they were dealing with. And they knew what their objective was. Their objective wasn't go there to win. Their objective was to go there and not lose by more than 3-0. So, and they did that to me rather comfortably. You're right, Scott. There was no attacking intent from Roma's end. There wasn't much. As a Roma fan, I loved it because there was a few bright spots, which we'll get into. As a neutral, you'll probably hate it. But for Roma, they were there to not run their socks off and drain more energy. They were there to just manage the tie, get into Brighton, get into the Amex, just manage the score, qualify, and get out. That's all they were there to do. And to me, they did that brilliantly. They showed another side from them that we haven't seen so far with De Rossi, is having that sort of gritty performance. Because to me, when we were struggling in certain games like the Verona second half, the Salernitana first, maybe second half, Frosinone first half, like in those games, those were times where we didn't have much attack in those halves, but we were giving up so many chances and we were being caved in. We were under the cosh, as I try to use more and more now. But in Brighton, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like we were well in control the whole time. We limit them to barely half chances, under 1.5 XG, like I said. And Roma just went in there, did their job. Very acceptable loss. I know it's De Rossi's second loss, but nobody cares because it doesn't affect us in any way. Just a little with the UEFA coefficient point. But regardless of that, I'm pretty happy with how Roma was able to manage the game. And Azmoun should have had a goal, right? That should not have been... That should not have been chalked off. I'm sorry. That was a brilliant goal by Azmoun. The game actually should have ended 1-1. So the referee was horrible. I'm glad we got out of there with the tie. Everyone says, okay, well, maybe we're done with the referee. I get it, but I always look at, you know, the next round, the next games, and this puts us in a little bit of difficulty. Not only do we have Indica suspended because of the referee, we have guys like Paredes, Cristante, and I think Spinazzola, were in difficulty, diffidati, as they say in Italy. Yeah. So one more yellow card, they can miss the return leg. And that's all due to the poor refereeing by handing out yellow cards. Now, not every yellow card shouldn't have been a yellow. Like, some are deserved, but I'm saying as the overall game, I thought he was poor from the goal and from the card distribution. So, go ahead.
Sorry, Joey. I thought Indica's yellow was a yellow because he stopped a free kick being taken quickly. He tried to slow the game down.
For sure.
Yeah, the shoe was on the other foot. Yeah. Sorry, right. I didn't mean
I'm
to interrupt.
I'm saying in general. No, that makes sense. That's good input. I was just saying in general. So Indica was... But like Sviar, I don't know, giving him a yellow in the first half.
Yeah, time wasting. And for first half, Jesus Christ. The crowd were baying because they wanted, I think they were lifted after Welbeck's goal. He did play for Arsenal and Watford. I just double checked, and Sunderland. So, yeah.
He played for a lot of clubs, yeah. He went around.
Yeah, he's a good striker. Yeah. Oh, that was said in a West Country accent. I just heard myself. but no, I think the crowd were baying, and they sort of wanted a lift before halftime. Like, this could have been different if they may have attacked a bit more. It could have been. I thought after Welbeck scored, you would have seen Brighton go a bit more, not gung-ho, just try and get the second before halftime. Because if they got the second before halftime, it could have been a different story. But hindsight being a wonderful thing and being 2020, Roma, with the game management at the end of the first half and pretty much the majority of the second half, barring 5 or 10 minutes with a flurry of chances, like when Brighton brought on Ansu Fati and he played a little bit higher up the pitch, they didn't really test Sviar that much. A lot of blocks. I think he pulled up, was it 3 or 4 saves? One amazing save from Van Hecker right at the end of the game where, to be honest, I think he just took a pot shot from range and it flew. And I think it was like a knuckleball, like the dunk free kick in the first half, and it just flew.
And even the header before that, that he made,
that was a great save. That was a fantastic reaction save.
But Scott, also Roma, they managed. To me, there's important phases to manage, and if you can manage, you know, the first half, like the first 15, 20 minutes, you can kind of see how the game's going. And then right after halftime, right after the coaches talk to you, you can manage those important few minutes while you're getting back into the rhythm of the game. I think that's what good teams are able to do, even though if there's a flurry of 5-10 minutes. But again, that was more towards the end when, you know, when it's coming to the 70-75th, I'm sorry, I don't see a team scoring another 3 goals by that time. So Roma did perfectly to manage important areas at the beginning of the game and at the beginning of the second half. They did really well, especially the second half. I found they managed the game brilliantly. And they did this, well, like I said, Scott, this wasn't a game you needed Dybala, Lukaku.
No, didn't need them.
Exactly. I said that in the last pod for people who listen, is I wouldn't have started them. Maybe you wanted to start Dybala to control the game, but I think De Rossi and I thought alike on that one. We rotated everybody in the attack as well as Paredes, which to me was brilliant. We rested Dybala, Lukaku, Oshoari, and Paredes, 4 of our important players that contribute to our attack. Yes, we played Pellegrini, but Pellegrini did not play in the Fiorentina game. He only came on towards the end. So we had to do a bit of rotation, and we were able to rest a lot of important players coming up to Sassuolo. So it was another positive. And they didn't do too badly. I'm sure you'll get into a couple of players, so I don't want to mention it right away, but they didn't do too badly to me for what their job was to do. So overall, I was pleased with the rotation that they're able to rest guys, and we got out of there with the objective of qualifying.
I mentioned 2 players. One is a starter. One is I think he played 85 minutes yesterday and come off near the end, and he's just signed from Empoli. Can we talk about Gianluca Mancini, who got booked early on with a tussle with Enciso?
Enciso, that wasn't a yellow for me.
No, he
didn't touch his face at all. I saw the replay over and over. So that's not a yellow. But again, the referee.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, Joey? It's what he's been like in the past.
His reputation?
Reputation. That's the word, not retribution. Retribution if he like landed one on someone. To be honest, I think he managed the game pretty well after his yellow card. And he did a nice goodnight gesture to Buonanotte right near the end.
Yeah, he said Buonanotte to Buonanotte. That's hilarious. Hey, you're right, Scott. I'm glad you brought him up. He had a fantastic game controlling the defense. I thought him and Ndicka were great. And with Mancini, this was great. I said he would bounce back. We saw it, how much difficulty he was in Florence against Fiorentina. He took off after 30 minutes. He bounced back and had a tremendous game. That's that's such a strong mentality Mancini has. He'll just forget the last game, and he played it brilliantly. I mean, he did super well, and that defense was, I mean, they were great all night. I mean, I can't say anything wrong. They didn't give much, and we even saw a nice Spinazzola run.
If he scored that, that would have been one of the goals. You could have given that to the Puskás Award.
Yeah, could have definitely been one of the goals of the season for sure. So all in all, was great by the defense, and that was led by Mancini. And I'm glad he had a bounce back game after what happened against Fiorentina.
Before we go on to the Europa League draw, one other player, Tommaso Baldanzi, I was really impressed with him, especially in the second half when he had some very good runs from deep. I thought he linked up the play pretty well. It was his first start in European competition. How did you feel he got on?
I thought he did well, Scott. I don't know if you read, some people were very 50-50 about him. Just to say that they weren't, he didn't have maybe a positive showing. But again, there's not much he can do if you don't have, you know, the right players around him with the attack. I mean, he doesn't play much with Azmoun. And to me, out of the three in the attack, Zaleski was, he was just nowhere to be.
Yeah, he did more of a defensive job.
Yeah, exactly. But that was the task, was to, they weren't there to go progress forward on the pitch and score goals. They were there to just keep it calm and control. But he did super well dribbling that ball up from the first third of the field and the second third. He did brilliantly. He will get better. I know probably his decision-making in the final third has to improve for sure. But his dribbling was great, of how he brought the ball forward. His carrying was wonderful. I thought he had a great game for what was given to him, you know, with a backup attack, and with what our intent was in Brighton, was just to control and not to go out there and score. Not that they didn't want to score, but, you know, don't take as many risks. So he's getting better and better in my eyes, and I thought he had a brilliant game bringing the ball forward and kind of easing Roma out of pressure at times. So his decision making in the final third will get better as time goes on, and I see him becoming stronger and stronger. So I was happy with how he played.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I was really impressed with him because he brought the ball from deep, gave a couple of the Brighton players a bit of a torrid time with his nimble footwork, shall we say. And I thought he'd give a good impression of himself in his first European competition game for Roma. And I do think there's more to come. And as you said earlier, Roma didn't need Dybala or Lukaku or Paredes or El Shaarawy, because those four players will probably have minutes on Sunday in the game against Sassuolo, which is just going to be Sassuolo sitting deep and just trying to nullify Roma for 90 minutes with their new coach, Mr. David Ballardini.
Which we did lose to him last year, by the way.
Yeah, with his Cremonese side. The less we talk about that game, the better.
Scott, just to point out before we move on, Lukaku, I don't know if you saw, he may not be there Sunday. So for people who don't know, he didn't train today.
He's got a hip complaint.
Yeah, so hopefully he can rest during the international friendlies. But he was called up by Belgium. But it does not seem like he'll play Sunday. But I'm okay with it. I mean, this is a good game for Azmoun to play. I mean, it's not one of the big teams. It's not where all your stars are needed. I think with Dybala being there, I think Azmoun can have a good showing on Sunday. So hopefully he does well.
So Roma, the draw for the Europa League. They've got AC Milan. And the running of games for April and May, because if Roma advance, oof, the games. End of April and May just looks like, oh God, what's going on? But overall, I did say this, we were speaking off pod, I said this to my friend, who's a Liverpool fan, and I did say to him, like, jokingly, all roads lead to Dublin for a Roma-Liverpool final. He's been saying it to me for about 2 months, and I'm like, don't. But I'm happy that Roma avoided a couple of teams, one being Liverpool, because I do think they are standout favourites. They won 6-1 last night and won 11. Was it 11-2 on aggregate? Bayer Leverkusen, I know this brings back a bit of harsh memories for you for yesterday, because Anthony Taylor, being Anthony Taylor, in the Karabag Bayer Leverkusen game yesterday, and Patrick Schick scoring two late goals. It was at 93rd and 97 minutes. And also, I think West Ham will... Yeah, West Ham are a team to watch in the Europa League as well. So that's three teams. Not to discredit the other four teams, including Roma, but...
Scott, I was going to say, before you get to the draw, I have to mention Karabag Leverkusen. I won't lie, I had a second screen going watching them when Karabag blew that two-goal lead and that red card from guess who? I don't know if you saw the red card, but I'll send it to you later.
I have, and the high five.
The
so-called high five, yeah.
When Schick scored those two goals, I dropped to my knees in just such despair, because, you know, we've been talking about it in our group chat of fifth place. That would have put Italy up to 99%, and virtually they were qualified if Leverkusen went out. I literally dropped to my knees. I could not believe it. But they did show, you mentioned West Ham, they did show a little bit of vulnerability. I mean, they were down 2-0 twice to Karabag, who had a red card in both legs. West Ham are not an easy out, especially at home. And I think West Ham, West Ham play at home the second leg, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not going to be very easy for Leverkusen. They're tough as nails with David Moyes. That's all I wanted to mention before the draw.
So West Ham won 5-0 yesterday.
Destroyed Freiburg.
Freiburg are a good team. They did well last season. And I do like their manager, Christian Streich. But West Ham at home, Europe, they're like Roma. They're like their last couple European campaigns, they've done really well. So they got to the Europa League semi-final when Roma were in the Conference League. They won the Conference League last season when they beat Fiorentina in, where was it? Was it the Czech Republic they won it? I think
I don't remember where the final was.
No, my apologies. I think it was Prague, but I'm not too sure. And then they got to the quarterfinals this year. They got a good team. I'm a big fan of Mohamed Kudus. Jared what Bowen. Bowen's a good attacking player, but Roma are not going to face them. But there was like three teams I didn't want to face, which was Leverkusen, Liverpool and West Ham. And I think Roma did well to avoid them. I just said to my mate, I said, I had a feeling that Liverpool could get West Ham and then Roma could get either Milan or Atalanta. But Atalanta got Liverpool. Roma versus AC Milan. Is it Marseille-Villarreal?
Marseille-Benfica,
sorry. And was it Liverpool-Atalanta? So that's not a bad...
And Leverkusen-West Ham.
Leverkusen-West Ham. What's your thoughts on the Milan game? Because it's... Milan are, just to say, an interesting team. I think half of their fan base wants Pioli out. They'll get top three. Hands down, they get top three. They probably even might get top two. They were in the Champions League group of death with Newcastle, PSG, Borussia Dortmund. I had a feeling they really should have qualified. I think the Newcastle game at home may have costed them, where they had all the chances and couldn't capitalize. They've done well in the... They beat Rennes and... Was it Sparta Prague?
Slavia.
No, Slavia Prague. Slavia. I always get Slavia and Sparta Prague. I apologize.
Sparta didn't have a chance against Liverpool, Scott. It was 4-0 within the first 15, 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. It was such a massacre for the team.
But Milan are like a weird team. Like, how do you feel about this? Do you think Roma have a chance? Especially with the second leg being at home.
You know what? Yes, I think they do. I don't think the draw is as bad as people say. I saw on Opta today, they gave Roma a 38% chance to make it and Milan 62. And I feel that's a little low. I feel like it's more of a 55-45 for Milan. I'll always give them the advantage. They have the higher budget. They have more of the stars. I get it. But Roma no Milan and Milan no Roma. I don't think it's a bad draw for Roma at all. I don't have that feeling, Scott, of last year where Roma feel like they were dragging their feet because everybody was tired and we started to see Missouri, Tahirovic at the end, Volpato, and all the Serie A games. Mm-hmm. I feel like Roma are running more like an engine now. Like they feel like, you know, they started a little slowly because they couldn't keep up for 90 minutes, but slowly every game, more and more, they're able to keep up the intensity longer, longer, longer. And this game is played in a month, not from now. I think Roma are going up, not the other way. Where last year, you know, around this time when it was Feyenoord, I felt Roma were starting to dip downwards with everybody couldn't run anymore, fatigue. So I'm not worried about the team. Look, we could definitely lose. I don't project Roma to win the Europa League. I think it's very difficult this year, but I don't think Roma fare poorly. I don't mind the draw at all. Honestly, and as a bonus, Italy get obviously better rankings for us, which is what I wanted. And I truthfully don't mind the draw at all. I think we have a chance. I think Milan have been inconsistent, a little less than Roma, but they've been inconsistent this year. They lost to Monza that 4-2 game. They lost to Rennes. I know they had a huge lead at 3-0, but in the away 3-2. Leg. Yeah. That was the game. I'm saying in the first leg, they had that lead of 3-0 going 3-0, into the second leg. Yeah.
So they didn't have to. France.
Exactly. They didn't have to play as hard the second game. You know, they had to just manage, but Rennes were always scoring, giving them a little bit of trouble, worse than Brighton Roma to me. So they were a bit in difficulty. And to be honest, against Slavia, the first game they played against Slavia, they won 4-2, but they were always only a goal ahead because of Slavia had a red card and they still scored 2 goals with 10 men. Thing is, with the second leg, is I watched the first 15, 20 minutes of Slavia Milan before, again, they got another red card and Slavia were pressuring very, very much. Like they had a lot of pressure, kind of like what we had. We were getting battered by them. So was Milan, but then the red card changed the game and Slavia couldn't deal with it. I mean, it's both games they got a red card. So Milan, I'm not going to say they got away with it, but it looked better on them on paper because they played against 10 for basically three halves, essentially in both legs. So they've been inconsistent. We see them in Serie A, how much they struggled against certain teams. So I mean, I think Roma have a chance in this tie. And I don't mind it. You avoid Liverpool to the final. They're my number one concern. And even if you do pass, I don't know, West Ham, they're right around Brighton, but they are scary. I agree. They're very good defensively, but I wouldn't say they overpower Roma. And I know Leverkusen's playing so well in Germany and in Europe, but if Carabao can give them a scare, I think a team like West Ham and Roma can. So I'm not saying Roma would pass Milan, but I'm not unhappy with the draw. I think it was very neutral. I would have maybe preferred Benfica, not even Marseille. Marseille are playing well. Maybe Benfica, but to be honest, or Atalanta. But I think we fare out pretty well in this draw. So I'm quite content with it.
I've just looked at the fixtures in between and like what you talked about on the WhatsApp group and I've seen on social media. Sassuolo on Sunday. Lecce away on the first, Rome derby the following weekend. That kickoff time has not been confirmed yet. AC Milan first leg at the San Siro, Udinese away, AC Milan second leg, Bologna at home, Napoli away, and then potentially the first leg of the Europa League semi-final, Juventus at home, Europa League potential second leg semi-final, Atalanta away, Genoa at home, then the Europa League final, Empoli away, final game of the season. And on the May 31st at Optus Stadium in Perth, that Optus Stadium, that wonderful multi-purpose stadium in Australia, Perth, Western Australia, Roma play AC Milan and they will play each other 5 times this season. That run-in,
Hopefully we can win one of those games, right, Scott? Because we haven't beaten Milan in 3 years. So,
yeah, that running is a tad brutal. I'm not going to lie. The last, before the Genoa and Empoli game, that stretch of Bologna, Napoli, Juventus and Atalanta with the Europa League ties and maybe the potential of a Europa League semi-final, that looks a bit grim.
Yeah, it does. I agree, it does. But again, Scott, I have the feeling, unlike last year, look, will Roma get fourth or fifth? Again, I don't know. I'm just a little more positive because I feel Roma's engines are getting going rather than slowing down. I think they're getting better as each game progressed, not getting worse. I found Roma had a very, last year, Roma around the January, February mark did really well, but like, you know, they were hanging on to those 1-0s. We know how it was. They were doing well. And then you can see it slowly started to show some cracks that it was going to slip at any moment. That's how I felt. But this year, I feel it's the opposite. I feel Roma are on the up at a perfect time. It's kind of like that feeling what Inter was last year, because Roma, I will never forget, Roma were 5 points ahead of Inter, and they were third place right around March, but Inter were just starting to, you know, rev, like I keep saying, the engine just starting to wake up, and then they did so well in the Champions League at the end of the year. I don't think they lost in like, I don't know, something like 8 games or something. They just went on this tear. I don't think Roma will do as well, but I think Roma are at a good moment. I think they're doing well, although continue to keep up with the pace. Maybe I'm not saying to, you know, put everything on the Europa League or not, or the opposite, but some people, and I tend to agree, maybe you want to focus more on the championship. It's very possible. I'm not saying to bin the Milan game, but you know what I mean? I think De Rossi will be smart of trying to manage both, but I think he'll try to give priority to Serie A because we have a real shot here. And I think with those games, Roma can come out positive. And the teams they're facing, I know Bologna doesn't play more than once a week now, so that will be tough. But a team like Atalanta, they're coming off their brutal schedule. They have Fiorentina and Napoli next, but they have 2 games against Liverpool. And I don't think Gasperini ever gives up a competition. Also have Coppa Italia. So they're going to have pressure on them as well. And that's our biggest competitor for fifth right now, which, like I was saying, I do believe we have a shot of having that spot. We're like almost right there. So I think they'll manage it pretty well, but it is a grim schedule and they got to keep focus literally every single game. They cannot slip up. Not to say they'll win every game, but they certainly cannot slip up. But I think it's right there for Roma to reach their objective.
Before we wrap up, do you have anything else to add?
Just want to see Pioli's face miserable and disappointed in the end of April at the Olympico. That would be the highlight of my year, really.
I think that game will be on
the 17th
is a Wednesday, and that's my birthday, so that'd be a nice birthday surprise.
For the 18th.
For the second leg on the 18th. But no, I think Roma will be all eyes focused on Sunday against Sassuolo. Take it game by game by game, not to look further ahead. Sassuolo will be a different opponent, different type of opponent, than Brighton from yesterday. Ballardini, they will make him a bit more hard to beat. There'll be no Domenico Berardi. He won't be the... he won't be the heel like he was last year and then getting Kumbulla sent off and then going down. No, I won't use that analogy. He went down very quickly and then the scourge of Roma. But no, it's going to be a tight game on Sunday. Are you more confident before we wrap up?
I am. Just Ballardini, he knows how to get his teams to play defense. I mean, if you look at his first couple of games, like they've solidified that a little more. So they'll be parking the bus against us. But I think we have the team to unlock him. So I think we'll put enough pressure. I think Roma would get a good showing. the next two games are important. I mentioned Atalanta, like they have tough games, and where Roma doesn't, this is how you make up points. So I'm a little more confident, but we have a tough run of games, Scott, and new coaches too, right? Baliadini, Lecce have, what's his name now? Gotti, which we play after the break, and Tudor.
Yeah, it's not diverse. Yeah, we haven't talked about Maurizio Sarri. That broke, I think, after we recorded on Monday. I was walking to my local shop. When you WhatsApped me, I was like, what? So we'll probably talk more into that into the next couple of weeks. And the Versa headbutting Thomas Henry and then a day later getting sacked. But no, I think Roma need to start on the front foot, and I think they will. The type of players, the type of team that De Rossi will put out, I think you'll put out a different type of team from Thursday, and it'll be all guns blazing. And I just want to see Roma play on the front foot against a Sassuolo team that have been in free fall and are really struggling this season, and I can't put my finger on it. And it's just really, really strange. But no. Do you have anything else to add, Joey?
No, that's all. We got through everything we needed to speak about today.
I'm so happy we got through. It could have been a different story.
But it wasn't, Scott. And you know what? I think our mentality has really
grown. It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot.
The mindset with De Rossi has changed, but mentality, there's one thing I'll give Mourinho. I think he's brought in a much stronger mentality to Roma. And I think De Rossi just gave us a different, like you said, mindset. To me, they're two different things. And I think we're professionally managing games a lot better now than what we did in the past when we would lose like 7-1 to literally anybody. So I'll take it. I think we've been very competitive in Europe. We've made 4 quarterfinals right in a row now. We've made 4, I believe, straight.
Yeah, 4 in a row.
Yeah, we have a certain DNA in us. Milan, I know they have the historic DNA for Europe, but that's more Champions League. But Roma have had the DNA lately. So if I were Milan, I'd be a bit concerned as well. And De Rossi said it. Like, I wouldn't want to be anybody to face us. I don't think it'll be easy. And the return legs at the Olympico. So it'll be a fun tie.
You really should have said that in the Giorgio Chiellini sort of way when he was interviewed on
the history of the Milan.
Yeah, the history.
The history of the Tottenham. Yeah, that's
the history of the Tottenham. Well, yeah. That clip, I think the anniversary of that game was not so long ago. So what was that, 2016, 17? I think it was when Spurs were playing at Wembley because the new White Hart Lane was being done and the old White Hart Lane was just been demolished the season before, so all their games were at Wembley. So it was the history of the Milan, as Chiellini would say. But it was actually the history of Tottenham. But no, guys, you can follow us at themagicast.com. You can find us on all. You can find all the previous episodes on the website, and you can find us on all podcast platforms: Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, etc., etc. Joey, thank you for joining me on this Friday evening. About quarter of an hour before Empoli Bologna.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I'll be the biggest Davide Nicola fan tonight, so hopefully he pulls off a masterclass. But it was good. It was good discussing Roma going through to the quarterfinals.
Comeback? What comeback? Yeah, didn't see it coming. No, it was good to talk and see a different side of Roma. We'll be back after the Sassuolo game on Monday with a very special guest. Enjoy the rest of your week and your Friday and your weekend. Enjoy the football. Take care. Ciao.